It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Greg, this is going to make your head crack in half. You ready?
Crack
for this?
In half?
This is the tiebreaker for the World Baseball Classic. If in fact, Team USA gets there. Because the tiebreaker is runs allowed per out.
Uh-oh.
Team USA has put itself in danger and not advancing through pool play for the first time in World Baseball Classic history.
So if they don't go forward, how much do you still care about the WBC?
I care about the DR and the Japanese team because they got really good players. It'll be fun to watch.
Okay, so how much
but
do you
care
think,
less?
Yeah, do you think people around the United States will care?
No, I don't think even right now there's.
I barely care now.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it on Saturday. And
I watched it both nights. I watched it on Saturday and Sunday night. I watched it against Team Great Britain, and it was not great because we didn't play great. And then last night we got our butts kicked by Mexico. They kicked the U.S. ass.
It was destruction, and it was also 2.5 hours in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Way too slow.
So slow.
It's one of the things he pointed out right out the gate. Yeah. Is now you kind of got a little bit accustomed. By the way, that's without. No regular season games being played yet, and you're already accustomed to a faster pace.
Well, I want it now. It's all I want.
100%. It's so much better, and that's back the way they went to. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit, but there is some breaking news, and breaking news on 710 is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. The Raiders are closing in on a deal with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, per Mike Garofalo. The Raiders are giving former 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo a 3-year, $67.5 million deal, including $34 million guaranteed per source. So Jimmy G is now your Raider quarterback.
And that's Garofalo. But so the first thing I thought about when I thought it was, God, geez, Jimmy G, are you kidding me? But here's the thing. It's a 3-year deal. He's getting about $22 million a year, 34 of it's guaranteed. The Raiders have an offensive line that was top 10 in the NFL last year. He's a bridge quarterback. He didn't cost that much. He is going to be a guy that'll just keep them afloat this year, possibly. And if he's terrible, you can still go ahead and draft Caleb Williams. And even this year, you can still draft C.J. Stroud. Or you can still draft a quarterback if you want to. I don't think this is your quarterback for the foreseeable future type of move. I don't mind it because you needed somebody there, some kind of veteran to get to Devontae Adams. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but it doesn't prevent you from doing anything that you want to do moving forward.
Well, I think it does. I think it does because I think Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough to have you win 7 or 8 games. That's the problem. That Jimmy Garoppolo is too good for what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, that's why you still draft C.J. Stroud this year.
If you can.
If you can.
He may be gone by the time you get there. Carolina,
I mean,
obviously,
they can still
is moving
move
into
up.
That time. You can do it, but then why go and get Jimmy Garoppolo if you're going to start to develop a guy?
He's just good enough.
He's just too good.
Mm-hmm.
Like Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a little better than Derek Carr.
No, a little bit. They're even. They're the same dude.
But they're close enough that you're going to get pretty much the same results, I think, that you got with David Carr.
Sure, which is what with Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a bridge guy. So you draft a guy if you can get him, C.J. Stroud.
Why do you
like
need
saying,
a bridge to stay mediocre? Like, if I'm trying to get better for the future, don't I want to be bad right now?
Because you bring in that quarterback. I'm just using C.J. Stroud because that's the first name that comes up, and I think that's the quarterback that I would prefer in this draft specifically.
Where do the Raiders have their pick?
They're 6, I believe, but they can still move up like that. I don't have a problem. Like, I think they can still get a quarterback, and they can still get one of the good quarterbacks. But what you get is that you have him sit behind Jimmy G for a year. And the best quarterbacks that come out usually have to sit for at least a year. So you let him sit. He's only getting $22 million. You can move him next year if you really want to. Like, there's a lot of things that can still happen. And let CJ just kind of learn the system of Josh McDaniels, which is a silly system
as it is. I was going to say, it's probably a system you want to forget.
Yeah, I totally agree. But this is what we got, so I got to go off of that. And you let him sit and you let him learn, and then hopefully he moves moves into it the next year or after year three.
Al, what it strikes me as, and this goes to where we are with the Rams and where we are with the Lakers, the very worst spot to be is in the middle. Is neither spot. Mm-hmm. You either want to be really good competing to go to the playoffs and win playoff games, or I want to be in a position to get high draft picks. The Raiders are neither of those two things. The mm-hmm. Raiders are going to be in the middle of the pack.
That's why if they think that if there's a quarterback in this draft, if they think it's C.J. Stroud or the guy from Miami or Florida, the guy that's down there, I forget his name. Anthony Richardson. Thank you very much. Whoever it happens to be that they think is the next guy, you draft them this year.
I think the question is,
and let him sit for a year.
You have Davante Adams. You have Josh Jacobs,
Darren
right?
Waller.
You have players that are ready to win right now, and I don't know if. I don't think you're getting Garoppolo for that game plan that you're talking about.
I think they're getting Garoppolo to try to win. I agree with you.
Right?
You're hoping that you get that Garoppolo, that Jimmy G magic, right, for this year, and hopefully you can push him forward. But if not, that's why you still have to draft the QB first.
I think Jimmy G is pretty good. I don't think he's great, but I think he's pretty good. I mm-hmm. think he's good enough to win you games. The bugaboo on Jimmy G is not that he's not good, it's that he's not healthy. He has a really hard time staying on the field. But when he's on the field, he's better than your average NFL quarterback.
There's two things about it. It's that he can't stay on the field. He's only played a full season twice in his entire career. And the other thing is he can't throw the ball deep. He has no arm to get the ball downfield, which is very much a big part of Davante Adams' game, big part of Darren Waller's game. So all of those things, that's why I think it's a bridge. And if you really want to move forward, the Raiders want to do this, they need to go ahead and still draft a quarterback in that first round. They have to.
Yeah, I just kind of I look at the AFC and you look at all the good teams in the AFC, and I would not be surprised if they're 9-8, 8-9, somewhere around there, right?
Or worse.
Or 7-10, whatever the case is. But you're going to be in this. That's, you know, you kind of talk about it where it's almost purgatory, where you're just not good enough to compete, and you're also not bad enough to try to take advantage of getting some high leverage picks.
Which is why I think that's why they're still going to draft a quarterback, and they're still this is a bridge situation.
Which is, by the way,
also he's not healthy. Like you said, he can't stay healthy.
But if the Raiders are competitive this year, and we talked about some of their offensive players, and Garoppolo is just another piece to it, and it's not a huge risk, that's okay. I just the selling of. I don't know how much this season, if you think it's going to be one way or the other, they're not going to be good enough to really compete. They won't. It's Buffalo, it's Kansas City,
best
it's Cincinnati.
Case scenario,
it's
the ninth best team in the AFC. Best case scenario.
I mean, as of right now, sure, yeah.
It's going to be that end of it, and then, like I said, you're going to be really one of those teams where you have some weeks you're like, wow, that was a really good win. Then you also have a couple weeks where you're like, those are bad losses, and that's probably going to be the Raiders.
They're going to be middle of the pack. I absolutely fully agree that they're probably going to be middle of the pack. I would love for them to be great, but at the same time, like, I want them to be either really good or really bad. And Jimmy G can allow you to still be really bad or really good.
I don't think so. That's the part where you lose me.
If he can be right in the middle.
You don't have a backup quarterback anymore. So it was Jared Stidham. He's in Denver now.
They'll find somebody. Look, if Jimmy G goes down and the next guy up is brutal and he goes down early, maybe. But you've just got a quarterback that's almost guaranteed you 7 or 8 wins. It's a weird spot to be in. Raider fans, what do you think? 877-710-3776, 877-710-ESPN. What do you think of Jimmy Garoppolo as your new starting quarterback? And then, of course, we got the Rams, who traded away. If he's not the best corner in football, he's certainly on the short list of best corners in football, and Jalen Ramsey, Al. They get a third-round draft pick, number 77 overall. They get a backup tight end in Hunter Long, who really doesn't play all that much. He's still a good player. He's still a guy that can make plays, that's a difference maker, that you really aren't anxious to go at him from an offensive perspective. And I don't want to say they gave him away for nothing, but the return on that, they only save about $5 million by moving him out. It's not like there's this huge economic advantage by trading him right now. A third-round pick for Jalen Ramsey seems really low.
I think it says more to, you know, the Rams have had such a weird, they've had really just such a weird year. Ever since they won the Super Bowl, you're kind of looking at the team and you got to kind of have a double take. It's like, okay, well, what's the plan here? They won the Super Bowl, give them all the credit in the world, but I think that trade for Jalen Ramsey also shows you that this upcoming season, I don't think it's the priority. The priority is moving past, it's looking deeper down the road. And I'm not, let's put it this way. When the trade went down, I had to, wait, that's what they get for Jalen Ramsey? That's all they got?
It wasn't a lot.
And then everything that you read or you listened to, nobody's talking about, the Rams got exactly what they needed. However, it's a 2024 plan. It's not, doesn't seem like a 2023
plan. Aren't they in where you don't want to be, though, Trev?
Yes, they're exactly
they're
in that
very
spot.
Much that middle ground of what you're talking
they're
about.
They're in the bottom half of the middle. I think, and you're right, they're exactly where they don't want to be or where anybody wants to be. I agree with you. But I do think what Al said and what you said and what happened right after the end of the season, they've all come together to kind of clarify what they're doing, which is, who's the most important person in the Rams organization?
McVay.
McVay, by a mile, yeah. Right? Like, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, Matthew Stafford, even Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's maybe a little bit of a different category. But if any of those guys left or were traded or whatever, you'd be like, oh, that's too bad, but okay, what's happening next? McVay leaves, and you're like, what are we going to do? It's different. But now that you got McVay here, presumably for the long haul, he said he doesn't want to go through the is he coming or going thing year after year. He says he's here for a while, Al. But if I know I've got Sean McVay for, let's just say, at least the next 3 years.
Okay.
Everything else is in play. And I think that's what they're doing. Bobby Wagner's gone. Jalen Ramsey's gone. Leonard Floyd is likely to be gone. Allen Robinson
he's already
is
gone.
Gonna be
he was
gone.
Already released.
Okay. So you've got all of these things done. And it's basically, this upcoming season, we're going to keep our powder dry. We're going to get ready for 2024 because we don't have to worry about McVay leaving. We need to worry about getting good players all over again so we can go on another McVay run. They got the most important thing done that needed to get done, which is keep McVay. And after that, it's all looking for something beyond this upcoming
that was,
season.
That had a lot to do with the No, that's not going to be the case because McVay wants to win right now. McVay wants to win right now. And it felt like when that pressure was there, and if that pressure is now all of a sudden gone and Sean McVay is saying, take me for my word. Yep. I know two straight off seasons, I have not made you feel comfortable about what my future is going to be. I'm going to be here. Now you can say, all right, let's plan accordingly.
And maybe McVay said, hey, listen, I'm okay with kind of hitting the detonator on this thing and starting over. I'm ready for it.
They may
right
not
now.
Have any other choice.
You might not have any other choice. And maybe at the end of the year, it's like, I don't know if I can run this back again. But they said, well, what if we start over? Yeah, I'm more interested in that than trying to make this out of that.
So you're basically allowing McVay to create his own team at some point, is what you're saying.
Well, they've done it before.
I mean, because look, it's all in what's happening. You get rid of Jalen Ramsey for a third round pick, which is nothing. Bobby Wagner leaves when he cost $5 to $7 million, and he said, I want to go somewhere so I can win.
Yep.
It's all written there for you that there's something going on with the Rams team that they are not going to be good. They are not looking to win next year.
I agree with that part, but I think what you need to kind of look at is the Rams. After they went to the Super Bowl the first time, Super Bowl 53 against the Patriots, and they lost, they came in the next season, at the season after, which is basically where they are right now, and they looked at it and said, this isn't good enough. They completely retooled that team. Todd Gurley was gone. Marcus Peters was gone. Jared Goff was gone. That other than Aaron Donald, everybody left in that situation, right? Then 3 years later, they were back in the Super Bowl again. That they really did tear it. They did it differently with stars and making acquisitions and trades, but they rebuilt it on the fly. Now, they're starting from a lower floor this time, but I think that's what they're doing. The year after the Super Bowl, this was a disaster. Let's rebuild it again on the fly, only we're going to – the methodology we're going to use is different.
But don't you want to keep the team that won the Super Bowl kind of intact?
They tried, and they won five games.
Oh, there's a lot of injuries. But yeah, I mean, that's you kind of have to think there's some issues that are going on there.
They just did. They tried to run it back. They won five games. And it was, well, that was a huge mistake. Let's not do that again.
Berg, I think this is tough.
Line injured, I think Stafford injured.
I think it's tough to. I think a lot of teams don't want to identify when, hey guys, we got the maximum out of what we had. And it's okay to, if there's one thing you could do in the NFL, you can rebuild pretty quickly here. It's not,
you can go from worse to first.
It's not an NBA franchise where you feel like, yeah, they're going to be bad for 8 years or whatever the case is, right?
Jacksonville's a perfect example.
It happens way
second round of the playoffs.
NFL, look at the NFL playoffs over the last 20 years. There's pretty much twice as many teams, or six teams are out, seven teams are out, six, seven new teams are in. I just say that because I think they've recognized that this is probably all said and done with what they had.
All right. WBC last night, Team USA got rolled by Mexico. Watching that game made me think of one thing and one thing only. Tell you what it is next. It's Travis Inslee, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Raiders have their new quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, according to reports. He's going to get about $22 million a year. Greg's down on Jimmy G.
It's not down on Jimmy G. I just don't think that he's going to be – he's a bridge quarterback to me. I don't think
he's But he's very good-looking, and he's going to be the best-looking Raider. So, you know, that's one thing.
That's a good point, Em. We did not make that point.
Way better looking than Hunter Renfrow.
I don't care. Unless George Clooney or Brad Pitt is on the Raiders,
he's the
best looking guy on the Raiders.
On anybody's team. It doesn't matter who it is.
All your girlfriends are now is going to be huge Raider fans. You know, it's going to be great.
Good. We need more Raider fans.
Every time the Raiders come or the Niners came on, Susan, who's that? Oh, that. Yeah. Jimmy. Yeah. I like him.
When he's at the Warriors game?
The line.
Nobody's paying attention.
McCaffrey,
all the
Kittle, yeah. They're like, can you get out of the way so I can get a quick little dap up with Jimmy G along the way? Let's try a quick phone call here before I talk WBC. Terry in Orange County. Terry, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up, Terry?
Hello. I just like to talk about the Lakers. I think the season is over. I just think we got to get rid of Anthony Disabled Davis, and we got to get rid of LeBron. Dumb Bron James, he's just no good anymore, and we got to go young with European players, dude. Go European, young players, man. We need young players, man. Get rid of these guys.
What the heck just happened here?
Thank you, Terry.
That was random.
Just happened here.
Dynamite dropping.
Yeah. No.
Just happened.
I disagree with that.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Finally playing good ball. Talking about them getting where they need to get to now, the call.
Well, do you want to draft like the entire Italian team? You're like, what are we talking about?
Just bring Team Australia over here. And
LeBron James is still very good. He's old. He gets hurt frequently now. It is what it is. Anthony Davis, you guys know how I feel about that, but they're not moving on from either one of those guys. Those guys are going to be here. They're like you and I were talking about at the beginning, Al.
Yeah.
I'm as optimistic about this Laker team as I've been at any point in any Laker team for two seasons because they do have, beyond the two headliners, they got players that can make it. D'Angelo Russell can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt makes a difference. Beasley makes a difference. Austin Reeves makes a difference. They're not stars. They can't be the guy that carry the water every night. But if Dennis Schroeder is your fourth best guy, pretty good team. If he's your second best guy, you're dead meat. And that's what they were doing for a long time.
It's fun basketball again, too. It really is. The actual product is a lot better. Being across the street, you could just feel kind of the crowd as well. Listen, I know they lost yesterday, but just
how much of that loss
the last
put on
month,
AD?
Is so much better than anything else.
Because he disappeared in the fourth quarter.
So the starters were Anthony Davis. I put a lot on him. You can't go 1-for-5 from the free throw line. Okay?
Well, that was terrible.
All right? You can't go 1-for-5 from the free throw line. That can't happen. But teams are also smart enough to say, we're just going to, every time Anthony Davis touches the ball, this is what Toronto did on Friday as well, we're going to throw 38 guys at him, and we're going to make Troy Brown Jr. shoot some shots. Troy Brown Jr. was 0-for-8 yesterday. Malik Beasley is very overhyped of what he actually produces and what he is on the floor. He's a great shooter. He's also a very low percentage shooter. To get 12 points, he's got to take 12 shots. So, the Knicks said, cool, we'll just let everybody else shoot the ball other than Anthony Davis. However, can't go 1-for-5 from the free throw line. You got to also just be more aggressive at the end of games, and if you got to take some tough shots or get to the free throw line, you got to find different ways to do
it. But how much did that loss go on to Anthony Davis? I mean, you're not saying one way or the other. You're telling me that you can't go 1-for-5 at the free throw line, Malik Beasley, these guys, this guy.
How much of that was Anthony Davis' fault?
Yeah.
Why are we expecting Anthony Davis to be different than he's been the entire time? This is where I'm done with this. Like, there's going to be nights where he's transcendent, And there's going to be nights like last night. This is what he is, guys. To think that what happened last night is the exception. Hey, what happened? Nothing. It's what he does. Some nights he's transcendent, arguably the best player in the league. There was a graphic last night, and I'm going to get the numbers wrong. He's the only player in the league that's like 20, 10, 8, and 4. He's the only guy in the league that's got those numbers. He's amazing, but what we saw last night happens too. This is why I'm not doing that. It's like, this is what you get. You get transcendent, and you get, where the heck did that guy go? And last night was one of the second things.
It's, but this has happened so often in his career that
right.
in the fourth
so why,
quarter.
Exactly,
no, I know.
That's my
but
whole
like,
point.
But while, but that's, I think that's part of the problem, right? Is that the fact
of
is
course
that
it is, but the, it's not going to change. That's the thing. Like, I'm done howling at the moon on things that have happened all the time.
I didn't think last night was. I didn't walk away saying the way Anthony Davis said that was on me. I wasn't the same exact way on AD.
He needs
I
to take the ball. He needs to demand the ball. He's good enough. He's skilled enough to make to get what he wants inside. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
I do, but you're making it sound like the Knicks don't know that, and the Knicks aren't going to say, we're going to throw two guys on him and let some of these other guys score.
I don't think it's a Knicks thing either.
I think it's an Anthony Davis thing, and I just think that the sooner we all kind of come to grips with, if every 10 games he's going to give you six that are unreal. Mm-hmm. He's going to give you a couple that are all right, and mm-hmm. he's going to give you a couple that are not very good.
Mm-hmm. It was back-to-back games.
And that
problem.
Last night was kind of one of the second ones.
But I kind of go back to this. If it's not in his nature to be, and we all know this, it's not his nature to be self. Have you ever said, you know what, AD is just being too selfish? I wish I would say that more.
Right. I would
he's
love
not,
to see
that's not
that.
His play at all, or that's not kind of his demeanor, where some of these other greats, it is their demeanor. I'm going to if I got to force one over two guys, Kobe would force one over two. If LeBron says, I got to take over the game, I take over the game. But
he
he's not those guys. He's not. He's a unbelievable basketball player, but he's also not a player that you would say, to win a championship, he's the best player on the team. He's not that guy. He's still an unbelievable player,
issue,
but
unfortunately.
All right. So I was watching Team USA get demolished by Mexico last night. I watched Team USA beat Great Britain on Saturday night, but kind of do it unimpressively, right? They won the game. There's never a chance that they weren't going to win the game, but it wasn't, holy smoke, look at that. They got, like I said, demolished by Team Mexico last night. You know what it reminded me of? The Dodgers. It was
so true.
It was so unbelievably Dodger, like Dodger vu, right? it was Dodger vu all over again, because here's the Dodger, the quotes coming out of Team USA's clubhouse were so similar to the quotes coming out of Dodger clubhouses, which are, hey, listen, you look around this clubhouse, you look at all the talent, we're gonna win a lot of games. We're good. We're gonna make sure this is gonna take care of itself. We're very, very good. We just gotta let the talent take over. The Team USA, the lineup that they have, the infield and the outfield and the catchers that they have are extraordinary. So when Tim Anderson doesn't get a hit, Mookie will get a hit. Trey Turner will get a hit. Goldschmidt will get a hit. Arenado will get a hit. Will Smith will get a hit. JT. Well, when none of them get hits, so somebody at some point needs to get a damn hit. And that was the Dodgers. Well, Trey didn't get a hit. Well, Freddie will get one. Well, Freddie doesn't get one. Chris Taylor will get one. If Taylor doesn't get one, Muncy will get one.
Yeah.
And none of them get any damn hits, and they lose. We're looking around and saying, what the hell just happened? That's what it was the last two games. Even the game they won against Great Britain, it was, oh, well, look at this lineup. They got six MVPs in the outfield. Yeah, but nobody's getting any damn hits. They're not scoring any runs. It's so unbelievably lines up. Like, the Team USA roster is exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Only the game, it's okay. Like, Mexico has a handful of very quality major league players on it. Team USA has nothing but quality major league players on it, and they got run over. The desperation that Mexico played with yesterday was palpable. Palpable. Team USA is like, yeah, maybe we'll break a sweat today against this Mexican team, and we'll see. They got their asses handed to them.
Well, if Mexico lost, they were pretty much done for the most part, right?
I understand
but
that.
That's kind of the point, right?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
sense of urgency.
Yeah, well,
we just come out right out the gate. We dominate teams. There's not that.
The first at-bat of the game, Randy Arozarena comes up for Mexico, hits a ground ball kind of up the middle. Tim Anderson bobbles
sprinting
it a little bit.
The first.
Busts it down. They call him out. And Arozarena's like, no, I'm not leaving. Challenge that. First play of the game. Like, really? Really? And it was bang, bang. It was really close.
Yep.
You really want to challenge that? Because if you don't get it, the rest of the game, you're done. And Arozarena's like, we're challenging it. He was safe. They leave him on there. They hit a home run. They get a little momentum. And they kept the pressure on. And USA is just,
We're fine. We got Trout. We got Mookie. We got Jeff McNeil. We got Anderson. We got Arenado. And they don't score any runs.
Okay, this is not the equivalent of it, and it's not the best example, but some people got to get up in the morning, and the way they have to grind is different than somebody that's, hey, I'm good. The bank account is flush.
I'm doing fine.
I got lunch coming up a little bit later. I'm going to eat, you know, some lobster and shrimp, whatever it is. They wake up different than somebody else. It's like, I got to put food on the table tomorrow. And I feel like there is this, it's not just, this isn't just Dodgers and it's not just WBC. I think there's, or the United States and the WBC. I think there's certain, there's an urgency.
Yes.
Versus no urgency.
100%.
And there's no urgency.
There is no urgency.
None. Which brings me to the Dodgers, which this upcoming season, I think there will be a greater sense of urgency.
I agree.
Because they don't have nine All-Stars.
I agree.
They've got four, mm-hmm. which is a far more normal amount.
Still more than in Baltimore.
It's still more than most.
Yeah.
But if they have four, it's not like, hey, listen, if Freeman and Betts and Muncy don't do it and Smith, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
These guys need to step up
and
do these things. There's a lot of holes. Team USA, beat Canada today. Beat Canada.
Hey, that's Freddie
today.
Freeman.
Please. I know. Yeah, Freddie's playing for Team Canada. Yeah. Let's beat Canada so I don't have to do that voice again. We got 26. We can't pitch
that
these
almost
guys.
Makes
they're
me want to lose,
right? They're basically done.
Yeah.
Deep trouble.
If they lose, they're probably not.
That makes me want to root for Canada.
It's true.
That makes me want to root for Canada.
Why are you trying to root against the United States?
Well, I just want his voice back tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'm totally with you. And also the WBC.
Our inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament is coming up. We're finally here, Slee. It's this week. It is Saturday the 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Agape Pickleball Center in Miles Square Park, Fountain Valley, California. Reserve seating is available. You can register at ESPNLA.com. Just come on out and hang out with us. It's open to everybody. You can bring your kids. There's a kid zone. We've got a beer garden. There's pickleball demos and lessons. I know the tournament is going on at that point. We got all the TVs out there so you can watch all of your college basketball games. There's prizes. There's giveaways. There's a DJ. There's a 360 photo booth and more. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, and Pizza Hut. Come on out and hang out.
By the way, I did not know this. They ranked all the players for the pickleball tournament. Berg ranked number one in the entire tournament.
Yeah?
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Massive lie.
Ranked number one, and talk running his mouth. Talking about he's going to take everybody down.
I was going to make a joke that he's the blank of the NCAA tournament, only I don't know who the number one seed is, so I wasn't able to do the joke. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, I finally just dried off for my 2 days in rainy, rainy, rainy Catalina Island.
That's
but
right.
It was really fun. And last night was probably my favorite night in a long time because it was both the Oscars, got super into it, and the finale of The Last of Us. Sorry?
You were tweeting up a storm about the Oscars.
Yes, I had more tweets than I probably couldn't do because my phone was the one that was used to put on the screen because we have like Chromecast, and I was worried about it like going off, but I was like, yeah, no, I had a great time. Had like 20 friends over. It was a really good time.
How was your pun food?
So my friend and I, we did Wings, Top Gun, and Maverick. So we got Wingstop. So we got that. And then we had like Women Talkies. We had the Mac Frick and Cheese. It kind of went over pretty well. I think it was fine.
How
enough.
Was the water?
How water was went over
avatar.
Real well.
Water.
It went. People were tweeting about it like crazy.
Yeah, it was everything everywhere.
Everything all everywhere all at once. Great time.
That caller from Orange County.
It was a drama-free Oscars. So, but outside of the Oscars,
they should play more commercials during the Oscars. I really enjoyed that. There was a commercial every 8 seconds.
Go to Hulu.
Like Hulu.
Yeah, go to Hulu.
What I don't understand too is like why they don't air more trailers for movies? Because clearly, people who are watching the Oscars like movies. Why don't you add more trailers for movies in the commercial breaks? Anyway,
they don't pay for it.
They can. The studios pay for it. Anyway, yeah. Whatever. So UNC, like we talked about earlier, is not in the tournament, and they are not participating in the NIT. So the NIT is usually the second tournament that, you know, if you don't make it the main one, you go to the NIT, and, you know, they could technically win it. Like, they have a chance. But since not doing the NIT, UNC is being a bad sport. Travis, Fed or Cap?
Cap. I think UNC holds itself to a very high standards, and they don't play in JV tournaments. They're a varsity basketball team that had a bad year, and we're not going down to the lower division to try to make ourselves feel good. We compete against the best. We were not up for it this year, so we're not going to go play against the second level of competition. We're good. I much prefer them saying we're out and we're not going to do this as rather like, yeah, I guess we'll go and go in there and half speed it and lose in the first or second round because they don't want to be there anyway. It's oddly elegant to say, no, I don't play in the second tier. If I'm not in the first tier, I don't want to play at all. I respect it. Cap.
Berg?
It's 100% cap for all those reasons, but you know that UNC was the number one overall team preseason.
Yep.
They were supposed to be the best team in all of college basketball.
They're the defending champs, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. And they were the preseason number one team.
They went to the Kansas was the defending champs.
Oh, Kansas won, that's right.
They went to the national championship. And it's the first time in history the preseason number one did not make the tournament.
Yeah, and so there's no way you go to the NIT afterwards. There are certain teams.
But you could win it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But what are you
It doesn't
winning?
Mean anything. Yeah, what, are they going to raise the banner, the NIT
winning?
Banner?
That's the whole point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but I think they have six championships. I could be totally wrong on
it's
how
North
many championships.
North Carolina, they don't play in
yeah,
the NIT.
You're not raising an NIT banner anyway. Like, if UCLA would have not made the tournament, I would have said the same thing. Don't go to the NIT. There are certain teams. The Blue Bloods do not go to the NIT.
The NIT
and the UNC shouldn't
is
either.
Is for Santa Barbara, Irvine, Fullerton, the teams that have good seasons in their SC. Like, if you are a non-blue blood, go to the NIT.
Have
like
at
Pitt.
It.
Pitt at ACC.
What, go
like
ahead.
They had
have
a good
fun.
Season, but yeah, go.
Yeah,
so
I'm not watching
the
NIT
question is, are they being a bad sport?
Yeah.
They are. That's a fact. They are being a bad sport. And they are a really, really good program that is only known for winning college basketball championships.
Yeah.
My preference, I don't care if they're in it or not, but I think the fact that you played as bad as you were, that you were a preseason, whatever you were ranked preseason coming in, the fact that they didn't even make the tournament, they almost should be forced to play in the NIT. How are
There's
you
a
preseason number one and you cannot make the mark? Santa Barbara.
Fell apart.
San Diego State. Like, there are schools in there that, I mean, State, that maybe not the best example, but they were, I almost wish they didn't have the option of doing it, that they were forced to go play in the NIT because of it. I think for being a bad sport, I don't care whether they're in or not, but they are being a bad sport.
Taylor?
Fact, I'm with Slea. They should be forced to play it.
Yeah,
get them in there. Riveting competition.
Yeah, no one's watching that.
Hostage
no one's
basketball.
Watching it anyways.
Oscar Shebue is just sitting there. He's like, I'm not playing this game.
Speaking of bad sports, you know who didn't show up to the Oscars last night? James Cameron and Tom Cruise, because they knew they weren't going to win anything. So, again, your films are nominated for Best Picture, and you're not showing up for the Oscars. It's whatever. Jennifer Connelly was there, and she did present. So, I'm glad that's good for you.
Giant miss on your part.
What?
How did you not text me until she's on right now?
Yeah. I thought you were watching already.
I was dropping in and out. I missed Jennifer Kahn. Did she win?
No, she just presented.
Oh.
So, yeah.
She should have won. She got robbed.
All right. So, this weekend when I was in Catalina, there was a marathon / many races, like running races that were going on the island. And so, almost everyone there besides me and my friend were runners. Like, they were there to run the race. And just the riveting conversation around every dinner table that we could overhear was about marathons, running, shoes,
what's
all that good
pace?
Stuff.
Yep.
Right, exactly. And then I had this thing where, like, anybody who I ever know who runs a marathon posts about it nonstop on all social media, so you can't miss the fact that they are running a marathon. So you can't run a marathon without telling everyone you know that you're running a marathon. Berg, fact or cap?
It's cap. I have ran a marathon.
But we know.
Did you know that?
Yeah. You've told
and
us.
And you've told us.
Haven't
told,
yeah, but I don't talk about it all the time.
I'm with Greg.
It's not like I'm sitting here saying,
it's on your Twitter profile.
That time that I went to,
26.2. We've seen it.
The sticker on your car.
That .2 matters. Yeah. I don't have the sticker on my car. I don't post about it. I don't do any of that stuff. I ran it, and it's not one of the things that I'm like. When the conversation comes up, if I was there, I would have been like, oh, I understand what you're talking about, and I can have a conversation with you about it, but I'm not going to sit there and be go all crazy.
You should wear that medal.
Yeah, wear the medal every day.
Somewhere in a box somewhere. Yeah.
All right, Al?
I have never ran a marathon.
But it's a big accomplishment.
It is a very, very big accomplishment. So I would say it's okay to tell people that you ran a marathon. It's okay to post that you ran a marathon. Now, if you're doing it, I think there's a way to do it. It is a great accomplishment. We have some people in this office that just recently, or they're running all the time. I don't have to get into the details of John over there. But it is a incredibly impressive accomplishment. I'm okay if somebody's telling me that's what they did. They ran 26.2. Do I feel like a you-know-what knowing that they're out there every weekend running? Probably. Do I not feel great about myself? Probably. But it's impressive enough that I'm okay if they do it.
Trev?
I have not run a marathon. I have run a half, and it was, for me, an incredible accomplishment considering I told you the story. I went to the doctor. My hips started to bother me.
Yeah.
And he's like, have you seen anybody else out there running that looks like you? I said, no. He goes, did you ever stop to think to wonder why? I'm like, could you just give me the shot?
Trav, can you imagine? Because I've done a half as well. That's most I've done.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt at the end of that half. I know I did. Can you imagine?
Okay. Do it again.
Go back now.
Yeah, no.
It's like, what?
No, I would like to run a marathon at some point in my life. It is, like Greg said, a little bit of a bucket list. I don't know if I ever will, but I would like to. I will say this, though, Em. After an event like that, whether it's a marathon, a half marathon, I've done that Ragnar relay race, which is from Huntington Beach to San Diego. I've done some things like this. The beers and food after that event are second to none. You've earned them.
Yeah.
Your body is clean and feels good because you've been exercising, getting ready for all these things. There's nothing quite like the post-race, you know, just gluttony that comes along after that's just terrific.
And gotta tell you, everyone on Catalina on Saturday night was shwasted. Everybody was so drunk because you're dehydrated. You're all that good stuff. So, you know, good for them. My friend and I were just having a different weekend. All right, Taylor?
Fact. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Emily. I'm a runner. I'm not a marathon runner, but I don't know. I find other runners kind of annoying sometimes.
Would you ever do a marathon, Taylor?
Yeah, probably. If I put, you know, dedicated my couple months.
Would you want to or not really of interest?
No. No interest at all?
Not
even as one of those to see if I can kind of things?
Well, now you got me thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nice. It's like a bucket list. It's just something that you say, I did it one time.
It's an entirely individual personal challenge, too. Mm-hmm. Can I do this thing? Mm-hmm. And you either do or you don't. It's kind of cool. Now I want to do it. I never will, but.
All right, I have one more left for you guys. So Pedro Pascal is having a little bit of a moment. So he was in The Last of Us that just had the finale on yesterday, and he's in The Mandalorian. He is The Mandalorian. So both those things are happening at the same time. He's also from Narcos. So he's kind of been famous for like a while. But someone stopped him in the street, took a video with him, and you could see his Starbucks order. His Starbucks order, they zoomed in on it, and it's an iced quad espresso, which I think is the most amount of espresso you can get in a iced whatever, in a venti cup, extra ice. But then he said he wanted 6 shots. So instead of 4 shots, he wanted 6 shots in that quad espresso over ice, no milk, no nothing else. It's just 6 shots on ice. So you would try this, Alan?
Fact. I would try it, and I'd probably never try it again. I like coffee. You and I talk. We make 38 trips over here to the. You go to Italy every 30 minutes. I'm okay with trying something like that, but I'm trying it literally for the bit. I'm not doing it for anything else. I'm not ordering 6 shots down at Starbucks. So I would do it. Would I do it on a consistent basis? No.
All right, Trav.
Yeah, I would do it. I don't think I've done 6. I know I've done 5. So one more, what the hell's the difference at that point? Once you're over like 3, it's probably all kind of the same.
Was it, with your order, is it 2 shots? Is it naturally they're giving you 2 shots?
Depending on which size coffee you order comes with different amounts of shots. Like the venti one comes with 3, I believe.
I think so.
And the next one down comes with 2, and then so on and so forth. You can add more. I've gone up to the 5, and it's just like a really strong cup of coffee. It eats a hole in your gut, or at least it feels like it. But yeah, I would do it. I have done it.
All right, Burke?
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, you're not sleeping that night. I mean, that's just, you're going to be up and be, I mean, you're going to be able to do the show really well. You should do it just right before your show. and just be crazy the entire time.
I do have a lot of
shots. We always do Jameson. We always have Jameson.
Of course, Jameson. Before the show starts. That'll get you going, too.
All right, Taylor?
I cannot handle that much caffeine at all.
Okay. Now I got it. I missed it. You went too fast for me.
He's not doing a marathon.
I had half a shot.
He's not doing the coffee.
Thank you. Thank you. I was reading, and then I didn't miss the answers. A lot of things going on in my head right now. What are you going to do? Aaron Rodgers is kind of holding up the whole league right now at this point. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Speaking of the tournament, I know the answer for Santa Barbara. I'm curious where you guys are on your squads.
Okay.
That the Gauchos are in the NCAA tournament, it's a successful season.
Yeah.
Anything that happens from here on out is gravy. If they beat Baylor in the first round, oh my gosh, it's by far the biggest win in school history as far as NCAA tournament. I think they only have one win in the tournament. They beat Houston my freshman year. No, they beat Tennessee, Houston, one or the other. I don't remember. What about State? San Diego State is a 5 seed. They've been to the tournament before. They've been to the Sweet 16
twice.
Mm-hmm. What's a successful run for them? Is it just win a game and that's a good run? Do they need to win more than one? What is
successful
it?
That was a good season.
Yes,
they beat. They win on Charleston Thursday, and then they also beat Virginia.
So they need to get to the Sweet 16 for it to be a good season.
If you say that was a good season,
yeah.
If they,
even though Virginia's a higher seeded team, than
if they lose to Virginia, then you would just say, "All right, well, they kind of did what they were supposed to do, which is got to the tournament, won the Mountain West Conference, won one game, and then lost." So there was no surprise or shock or upset. They kind of just did what they were supposed to do. And then if they lose on Thursday, then it's a complete disappointment.
So, yeah, out in the first round, well, they're a top 20 team. They should not lose in the first round.
But they've done that. That's been the frustration, I think, for me with Dutcher. But if you make to the Sweet 16, you're saying to yourself, that was a really good season. If you just win one tournament game, you kind of did what you were supposed to do. And if you don't win, then it's a catastrophe.
What about for UVA, Em?
They need to make it out of the first weekend. They need to make it to the Sweet 16, or else it's a disappointment. I think successful season would be Elite Eight. I think that they have the opportunity and the ability to. They have a lot of like quad one wins. They have the defense that locks them down. They just don't have the shooting, and they've been kind of stumbling down the line. But I think if they don't make it out of this first weekend, it's really a big failure.
You know what I just heard from her? She said that they don't shoot very well, but they play really good defense. It's going to be 31-31 minutes left against San Diego State.
It likely will be.
Well, San Diego State doesn't shoot well either.
Shoot well.
No, they're a defensive-oriented team, which means they can't play offense.
It means they have athletes, not necessarily
basketball. They're going to play Virginia's game, which means that it's really slow, and it's like we cheer for shot clock violations more than we cheer for threes.
Well, wait, the Gauchos beat UCR in the semifinals in the Big West tournament on Friday night. They scored 94 points. And I'm like, how did they score 94 points?
One team or both teams?
And I'm thinking, wait, they just scored 94 points? I don't remember any of them. How did this happen? But they did. It's funny. Gauchos have already had a successful season. San Diego State needs to win one to be where they're supposed to be. You're saying they need to win two.
Yes,
so we're all kind of on different planes. Go Gauchos. Chances they beat Baylor, 1 in 10? 15?
Put any a small amount of money on that?
1 in 20.
Maybe, I think 20 is probably.
Yeah,
1 in
20.
That's 5%. Yeah, that feels about right.
I'm going to find the odds real quick and see what it looks like.
And find me the point spread, too. I'm curious what both of those are. All right, Aaron Rodgers is, they basically have a deal in place to trade him to the Jets. That Rodgers just needs to kind of sign off on it. By all accounts, the two teams have come to an agreement. It feels likely that he's going to move, right? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Everything the front office is saying for the Packers, too, they're moving.
Here's my question, Al. Why is that where he's going? Because this seems like a really bad idea to me. Not only is it to a media market that I think is going to be a wake-up call for Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
Green Bay might be the smallest media market in the league going to New York City. Obviously, that's a huge difference. But even with, like, snap your fingers. Aaron Rodgers is on the Jets today. What are they, the sixth best team in the AFC at best? Maybe seventh? You got Buffalo, you've got Cincinnati, you've got Kansas City that are all much better than them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got that next group of Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. You've got the Chargers in the mix. You've got a bunch of these teams that feel like they're at least as good as the Jets. Why is that the spot that he wants to go to?
It's a good question. I mean, just their division alone –
Might be the third best team.
Miami's, you know, obviously trying to make moves. Buffalo's the Buffalo Bills. Whether they're going to win a Super Bowl or not, they're going to probably win 12 games, maybe even 13 games. I think they won 13 this past season. Mm-hmm. The Patriots are always going to be a team that's in the mix. So just in the division alone, before you even go and look at the scope of the entire AFC, you're right. And listen, I think maybe for Aaron Rodgers, there's a little bit of, okay, I'm going to the biggest market in the country. The amount of interest and buzz that it's going to create. But that doesn't necessarily mean that from a football perspective, from a competitive perspective, that that's going to be a good thing. It's going to be tough. I mean, just to make the playoffs is going to be incredibly tough.
Well, you think about it. Aaron Rodgers needs to do what to put the cherry on top of his career? What's left for Aaron Rodgers to do in this league? And it's win another Super Bowl, right? He's won multiple MVPs. He's been to the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. It was a long time ago. It's been 10 years at least since they went in and got that done. There is no more go lead the league in passing or touch. There's who cares, right? That at this point, the only thing left for him to do is win more Super Bowls. That seems incredibly unlikely in New York. Why not pick? I get the Raiders seem like a better jump off point than the Jets at this point. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But this just seems like I just want to get the hell out of here. I want to make a point. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that would make a point just to do it and go to New York and have it be something mediocre at best and maybe worse than that.
All right. Patriots, Steelers, Dolphins, Jags, Ravens, Chargers, Bengals, Buffalo, KC all had better records than the Jets.
Yeah.
Are a lot of those teams going to be...
The argument you could make, Al, is that the Jets were 7-10.
They were
7-10, and
they lost six in a row to end the year,
and had a disastrous quarterback rotation. Mm-hmm. Their quarterbacks were dreadful, and they still won seven games. So maybe you give them not only a real quarterback, but an MVP caliber quarterback, and it goes to a whole nother level. That maybe that seven turns into 11.
Can you also be? Listen, I don't question it for a second that Aaron Rodgers, when he's sitting there thinking of himself and everything that – it's what it takes when you're some of the greatest athletes in the world. I could change that. Oh, no. They're an Aaron Rodgers away from making that team a playoff team. And, oh, by the way, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
How do you think he'll do with the New York media? Because let me give you the two schools of thought. The one school of thought is Aaron Rodgers been around the league a long time. There's nothing he hasn't heard, seen, or done, and he's going to be fine. The other side of it is he spent his entire career in a very small media market where there's a handful of beat guys, and now he's going to the largest media market in the country where there's literally dozens of beat guys.
Radio shows all day will be talking about 100% you, all that stuff.
Killing you, getting into all the nonsense that kind of got looked at the other way in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Do you think that he gets caught up in the New Yorkness of it all?
Why do I think I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay in front of the media. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to have times where there's...
He's sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
He's sensitive to that stuff, and they're going to do it.
Oh, no, they're definitely going to do it. How much it affects him, I don't know.
I guess maybe not affect. That's an interesting way to look at it. Like, does it affect him, or is it just something that he's engaged? Because some guys get engaged with it, and it doesn't really matter all that much.
I feel like he'll play along with it in a weird way. It will be different.
He wants to be the smartest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. He can't not be that guy. Mm-hmm. And he's not frequently. And he's not going to let it go. And he's going to dig, and he's going to dig that, well, I've been immunized against the disease. That will not fly in New York. It won't.
Also, Jets fans are way different than Packers fans. You know, you might have, like, the nice little, like, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, like, people that might want to be nice to you. Jets fans are going to berate you in the streets. If you're not doing well, they're going to get at you, and that might also get at Aaron Rodgers. Or he would engage, and that also might be even worse.
And what if, then, with all that? What if he plays well and does his thing, and all of a sudden the New York media and the Jets are looking at him as kind of the savior of the franchise?
ESPN LA is taking over Yamava Resort and Casino's latest amenity, the 909 Sports Bar, for a tournament tip-off watch party. It's coming up this Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Me and Slee, Mason in Ireland, Sedano and Cap, a meet-and-greet Baron Davis from 4 until 6. UCLA, of course, is playing that night at 7 o'clock. We got wall-to-wall LEDs, 150-plus screens, 32 craft beers. It's the perfect place to watch all college basketball action. Plus, we'll be giving giving away prizes and autographed memorabilia. You need to be 21. Please gamble responsibly. Lakers lose last night, but I have not felt as good about this Laker team that I do now in 2 years. I'll explain why. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.